Hello and welcome to Adulting with Ebony, the podcast where each week I explore what it means to be a kick-ass and kind adult in our modern world. Expect strong language and viewpoints, as no topic is out of bounds here. My guests and I will navigate the complete spectrum from wildness to responsibility with compassion and curiosity rather than expectation. I'm Ebony Allard and I'm a misfit turned maven, an author, a coach and your host for Adulting with Ebony. Come on then, let's do this. So today I am joined by Emily, and Emily is in M2M 360 and has been for a little while. Emily, have you been in M2M from the beginning?
Yes, I think I joined up, is it January?
Okay. So that's when we changed from 80 to 360 and opened the community space. Yay. So we see each other occasionally on Monday calls, and we've known each other also for a while outside of M2M 360 as well, but we've not done any extensive work together, and we've not done any really one-to-one stuff together. Mm. Okay, so I just wanted to set the scene for people so that they know that we do know each other, but this is a new kind of area or topic that we're going to dive into today. So I've been starting with everyone and just saying, what is it that's brought you to this coaching session?
It was entering your competition, which I can't really remember what we had to do now. I think we had to do a video, didn't we?
Well, and so less about that and more about like what did you want to talk about?
Okay, yeah. So I want to talk about money. I think it's probably going to tie in a little bit to self-worth, maybe, because I have a feeling that's what's probably behind my money issues. And why it is that I really struggle to put myself out there when it comes to making money. So I've done things where I don't make money, where I've really managed to successfully put myself out there. I've organised like collections for refugee-related kind of support and raised thousands of pounds. And I run a free diving club, and I'm getting like tons of new members in, and I can do it when it's not related to me and me earning money. Even if I'm running the thing and it is in some way related to me, as soon as the money becomes part of it, I get really scared of putting myself out there. And I think maybe I have a weird resentfulness thing about people not being automatically super willing to give me money. That means that I don't do the things that I really need to put in place so that people will be like, oh, I like this person, I trust this person, and what they're offering is awesome, and I would like to give this lady money so I can be a mermaid with her, which is what I'm trying to kind of get off the ground at the moment, is my mermaiding for adults.
Okay, so I think this is really interesting, because there's you mentioned that there's some resentment in there, and yet when there's no money, there's no resentment. Yeah. It's only when there's the idea of money and no money, that there's resentment.
Yeah.
So tell me more about that, because to me, that makes no logical sense. And the thing is about money is that it never does, right? So what one person thinks is of as a lot of money, another person thinks it's not. Like, it's such a relative thing, and it comes with all sorts of hidden stories and resentments and blocks and ideas and perceptions and all of those things. So have you got any idea where this resentment comes from?
Not really. I think it might have something to do with me. Well, there's two things. I think something to do with money representing freedom.
Okay.
And so I'm sort of like saying, why won't people give me my freedom, kind of thing. And something to do with money equaling so much responsibility and kind of monitoring or checking of what I'm doing, that it's not enjoyable anymore, something along those kind of lines, or turning what I'm doing, instead of being purely for enjoyment, into a chore, something along those lines.
Okay. And who How was money represented or talked about in your house growing up? Like, what was the attitude or the feeling around money?
In most ways, like, not really talked about. Mm-hmm. But also, I don't know if this is exactly money, it was, but kind of, definitely, sometimes used to, like, kind of reward, like chores and things like that. I can think of, like, things like, being, like, paid to clean, like, the sink and stuff like that in my house, but then, which I used to do, you know, without being paid. It was like a tiny amount of like 10p, I was probably like 5 or something. And once I was paid, even this like small amount for it, it had to be like checks, and I'd be like, oh my god, you know.
So that's really interesting. Yeah. So yeah. If you clean the sink and you weren't being paid for it, you just got to clean the sink.
Yeah.
And that was like part of your life and part of contributing to the family and part of like being in the household.
Yeah.
And then there were some times when you could earn money for it, but it came with like someone coming and monitoring and checking.
Yeah.
A different energy around it.
Yeah, definitely. It felt like, oh my god, am I doing this well enough? Whereas before, it didn't matter how well I did it, but obviously I did it amazingly because I was enjoying it, and it was actually just like probably something I was doing as like part of like playing, being a grown up or something like that. And equally things like, again, this isn't actually money. This is like, I think I was like rewarded with Lego or something. This is like pre-money. I got rewarded with Lego for a reading. But my mum realised that I was really good at reading books and was going to read tons of them. So when she realised that, she had to reduce how much, like, the reward that I was getting for doing it. And I didn't need to be rewarded for reading because I loved it. There was no point, like, you know, I didn't need to be incentivised for reading.
So this is really interesting. So to you, money is a reward and an incentive.
Yeah.
And yet when you're good at it, you don't need it, but also your experience is when you're good at it, people have to reduce it because you're getting too much.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can you see how this is mirroring in your life right now still?
Yeah, I can, specifically with the monitoring thing, like I can see that I get really obsessed with like health and safety stuff as soon as I start to charge for something. Like, oh my god, I'm gonna get into trouble for like not doing this like absolutely you know, correctly, and get really like bogged down in kind of minutiae around that because I fear that I'm gonna be monitored in some way. There is literally no one monitoring me, and if like, you know, it would take like a kind of lawsuit for, you know, anything to be kind of overlooked. So it's actually completely fine, but I get really bogged down in doing all the health and safety things so by the book that it feels very restricting.
So what would you like instead?
I would like to feel like I can get on with the project without getting bogged down in I think worries about health and safety and whether I'm going to get into trouble for not putting the most kind of extreme levels of safety in place that you possibly could. But
this is, so in this example, we're talking about the mermaiding stuff, right? And the pools and things like that.
Yeah.
But when you were running your Etsy shop.
Yeah.
That this same feeling was happening there too.
Mm-hmm.
And so in this instance, it's not really about the health and safety. It's not really about the checks and balances or the responsibility or, you know, the checking and the things like that. Mm-hmm. But was that checking showing up there for you as well?
I was basically obsessed with like the kind of getting all the details right, which actually means that in the end, I always like produce something that's like extremely high quality, for example, and the same with the mermaiding, that I end up being like extra honest about the health and safety side, probably more so than other people. But the feeling for me is of like stress and of, oh my god, someone's going to notice the most like minute kind of
and if you wrong. Took the money out of it and you were just running mermaiding sessions, or when you're doing your freediving, or, you know, when there isn't money involved,
mm-hmm.
how is the feeling then?
It's completely different because although obviously I would put in all the same kind of safety things, I just wouldn't have that kind of sense of like, what if someone sues me kind of thing.
And is it what if someone sues me, or is it a feeling of being watched? And how does the resentment, that feeling of resentment or being checked, how does that tie in here?
So it's probably more of like a sense of being watched. So like I'll probably more like check with like the venue and stuff really obsessively, loads of stuff, and then put venues off because I'll be like, oh my God, she's obsessed with health and health and safety. It's this kind of sense that I feel like someone must be kind of monitoring what I'm doing, and I keep like trying to make people into the person that's monitoring what I'm doing, even though they're not interested in doing that.
So what does if you go back to the little girl who was just enjoying, you know, doing her chores and being good at getting the bathroom, you know, the sink clean, or getting her reading done, or, you know, just enjoying the thing that was there. Mm-hmm. And then it changed into something that you could be rewarded for. Mm-hmm. And rewarding came with a responsibility, and that meant that it needed to be checked, and it meant that someone was watching you.
Yeah.
What is that little girl need to be able to take the reward, or take or leave the reward, but also just go back to enjoying the thing that she was doing?
That feels really difficult.
Can you take yourself back to a time when you were there? Can you imagine yourself being that little girl?
Yeah. Okay,
so I'm just going to ask her, what do you need for this to be fun again?
I'm finding it really hard to put my finger on what it is that I need.
What has she got to say? It doesn't need to be what she needs. Are there any words that she wants to share with us?
I think I just want some time and space to enjoy doing what I'm doing, could I get the reward just for doing it, and it not matter how well I do it, or whether I complete it, or whether I complete it perfectly, or that kind of thing. There's definitely something for me about completing the task.
Okay.
And more pressure.
So can you stay in that little place, that place of being little Emily, just for a minute? And I'm going to talk to her. Yeah. So Emily, I want you to know that adult Emily wants to play more, wants to do the things that she enjoys more, but she's worried quite often that she needs to finish it, that she needs to do it perfectly, that there's a right way and a wrong way to do it. And she would really like to be able to have both things, to be able to be rewarded, because actually reward now is money, and money means that she can feed her family and look after herself and, you know, give more back and help more people and actually feel better about herself and be able to play more. But she's worried, and she's attaching completion or doing it right to do it to the things that she used to play with. And so she wants to know whether it would be all right with you if we just changed how we think about these things, and so they could go back to being fun and being just about doing it for doing it, and not being about doing it right or doing it perfectly, but just to enjoy the experience of doing these things again. And that it isn't about somebody else checking anymore, that no one's going to come and check and see whether you did it perfectly, but that there will be money involved, which isn't the same as reward. It's just a value exchange. How does little Emily feel about that?
I'm really excited.
Okay.
Like that is a possibility.
Okay. Is there anything that you need in order for us to let go of this memory, of us to let go of feeling like everything's going to be checked?
I need to know it's okay to get it wrong and to fail.
Okay. So I'm going to speak to adult Emily. And we just heard from little Emily that she's really okay with you doing this stuff and enjoying it, and for there to be money involved and for it to be a value exchange instead. Yeah. But she's really worried that that it's not okay just to be doing it, right? And that it's that and she just wants to know that it's okay to do it for fun. And I want to check with you whether that's okay, whether there are checks and balances that you're going to put on these fun things, or whether there's another kind of set of measures, I suppose, or checks that we could use to turn out to decide whether or not it's been a fair value exchange or whether it's worked for you.
I think that in a way I can just, providing I can do the safety side of things, but then put it to one side and be like, I've completed this bit, I've done it. I know I've done all the things I need to put into place to make it safe. Now I can put that to one side and I don't have to bring that every time I go to the pool, for example, or every time I call the pool, or even when I'm writing social media posts. I think that's something that is like creeping in, like that little fear that I've got is kind of creeping into when I'm, you know, trying to share with people what I'm doing. And I think that just from doing the photo shoot, the pool-based photo shoot that I did at the weekend, it was interesting because there were two people with very different skills and abilities, and they were learning very different things in the pool, but they both got something out of it. And I was like, actually, for them, it's not about the health and safety aspect of it at all. Like, that's completely like separate from it. They just need to know that that's in place, and they don't even need to know that it's in there. They just need to have the confidence that probably that I'm conveying to them by the fact that it is in place and I'm happy with it.
So what would be a good measure of success for you on this?
I think it would be a feeling. And actually, I had that feeling right after doing my photo shoot, which actually I didn't earn any money for. But I would obviously, it would be brilliant if that did happen. I'm getting something out of it. I'm getting my photos and I'm getting... So
did that feel like a fair value exchange?
Yes, it did. And I came out of it feeling I had I love my life right now feeling afterwards, as I was driving on to a friend's house to go to my birthday celebration. I was so it was amazing. Yeah.
The feeling of resentment when asking for money, mm-hmm. or when talking about what you do, what the sessions are, how much they cost. Mm-hmm. Which, if there were parts of you that could do the different jobs, which part of you is would you like to assign the task of talking about the sessions and talking about what that people can get out of them and what their experience will be like and what the value is?
I think my enthusiastic, kind of playful side that is also quite sort of, it's got a grounded element to it. So, I can talk about how fun and exciting it's going to be, but also that there's going to be kind of like deeper changes for the person as a result of getting in touch with their body in water. That would be what I want to connect with.
Great. And the part of you that's really good at the checks and balances and measuring whether something's been done right and done properly, when you want her to come out, what's her responsibility?
That is when I have to risk assess like a pool, when I have to check my intake forms, from people just to see if there's anything else that I need to put in place to keep them safe in the pool. When I sit down and do kind of admin-y stuff where I'm like updating my records and checking that I've got all my paperwork in place, and she only really needs to come out there and, you know, she's...
So can we talk to that part of you very quickly?
Yeah.
So that part of you, has she got a name? Can we give her a name?
Organised Emily.
Okay. So yeah. I want to talk to Organised Emily. So Organised Emily, we've got some really important jobs for you. Your job is to be in charge of health and safety and risk assessing when it's time to do that, to check all the paperwork to make sure that people are going to be safe and, you know, that there's nothing that's been missed. And when we need to update records or do anything like that, then it's your job, and it's a really important job. And then we need you to make way for playful, fun, rounded Emily to come out and run the sessions and to talk about the sessions. And I just want to check whether that's okay with you, because it's not that we're getting rid of you or saying goodbye or telling you you can't be involved in this at all. It's just that there's one specific job that's so important that you do, and then this other job needs to be done by this other part of Emily. Is that okay?
Yeah, it feels like a relief that I can switch off.
Okay. Great. Okay, so coming back to playful Emily, getting her to come out, how do you feel, playful Emily, about talking about the sessions and what's going to happen and how there's a deeper aspect to it, and how fun it can be, and what their experience is going to be like?
I feel really excited about kind of getting to share that with people. And kind of expansive. That's kind of my feeling, like, wow, I'm gonna get to do this. I'm gonna get to share it with people, and I don't have to be held back by kind of worries that are actually irrelevant because they've dealt with them.
Okay. So I've got a question, and I want to. I know. I feel like I hope that you, that other people get that we all have all of these parts. Okay. Mm-hmm. And actually, as an adult, it's our job to pull out the appropriate version of ourselves at any given time. Mm. So I want to talk to kind of adult Emily again.
Yeah.
Tell me when you're like in that headspace.
Yeah.
Okay. So we have got playful Emily, who is going to deal with kind of talking about the sessions and be on social media and explain what the experience and the deeper reason behind why you might come and do a mermaiding session, yeah? And then we've got Organised Emily. And Organised Emily is going to deal with health and safety and is going to deal with box checking and fact checking and making sure that all the things are done and the systems are in place. I'm interested to know which part of you, and it might be another part completely or it might be one of them, would like to talk about money and make sure that the money stuff is dealt with and kind of at the right and appropriate time so that playful Emily can come out and do her job.
That's definitely Organised Emily.
Okay.
Yeah.
Excellent. So I'm going to do one more little chat with Organised Emily, if that's okay. Tell me if you can get yourself into headspace of Organised Emily.
Yeah.
Okay. So Organised Emily, we'd love to add to your job description, if that's all right. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we'd like you to be responsible for is talking about money. And this is a really important job, but no one's going to check that you're doing it right. There's no right way or wrong way. The only measure of this is that it happens before the session and is really, really clear so that everyone knows exactly what is happening and so that the container is created so that Fun Emily can come out or Playful Emily can come out and make the sessions really, really enjoyable. So would you be okay with being responsible for the conversations about money?
Yeah. Yeah, and I think I can do it really well, actually. And I see situations where I do it for my free diving. I was like, in that situation, I was like, we need to be more upfront about the costs and we need to put that out there. And I've done that there. So that's something that I just need to transfer from the non-paid version to the, I can get rewarded. I can get paid for this and get a exchange for value.
And would that stop you from feeling resentful?
to feel like it was a value exchange.
And for as organised Emily, would it stop you from feeling resentful because you're in charge of that piece? Is it a piece that you've wanted to be responsible for?
Yeah, maybe actually. Yeah, I think it's been hard to, because I have to make, you know, the sort of have the playful pitch and then bring in the,
okay,
and here is the money. I find it hard to combine those two at the same time.
Yeah, yeah. So was it actually, so I think if we go and talk to playful Emily, it's playful Emily that's been feeling resentful. Okay, that's really clear. So if we check in with playful Emily just very quickly, and I know this is going to sound crazy, but because I can actually see Emily, I can see when she's in one and when she's in the other. So if you're listening, this might not make any sense at all, but I can definitely see which part, and we call this parts integration, just so that you know, it's a real thing. We've all got these parts, and sometimes we just need to pull them out and have actual conversations with them.
It's really interesting.
So playful Emily, I just want to check whether it's you who's been feeling resentful around having to have the money conversations.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And if organized Emily took that on, if that became part of her job description, like it's her job to do fact checking, it's her job to do risk assessing, and it's her job to talk about money and make sure that all of that is done before you then step in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or is that going to work for you?
That's going to work. Yeah.
Okay. Great. So, I feel like we can put those organized Emily and playful Emily away and come back to adult Emily, unless there's anything else that either of you need to say.
No, that's good.
Okay. So, we're back to organized. No, we're not. Sorry. We're back to adult Emily, which is just Emily, just you. Hey.
Hello.
Hi. How did that feel?
That felt amazing and really interesting. It was really so noticeable how certain about things I felt when I was in certain headspaces.
Yeah.
So the difference between when you asked me, oh, was I resentful as organised Emily, which was like, maybe, no, I don't know, to playful Emily, which was like, yes, that's me. That was it.
Okay. So you know how we've talked about sitting practice before, and for those who don't know necessarily what I'm talking about when I say it's a sitting practice, it's my way of kind of talking about meditation, because or connecting with our heart or connecting with our soul and with that inner voice that just knows. And actually the beautiful thing about taking time out to have a sitting practice is actually what you're doing is you're learning to identify those different voices in you. And essentially sometimes we're just sitting and going, hey, are there any parts in me that need to talk to me about something, because I'm here. And if you imagine that there's all of these parts inside of you that are your inner children, right, your inner child, little parts of you that haven't fully integrated or grown up or have been wounded by some kind of experience or some kind of thing that happened, and then your job as your own mother, as your own adult, as your own sovereign being, is to check in with all of them, just like you would with everybody in your family, right? Just how you would go, how are you, you just do a check-in, right? And you make sure. So when we do a sitting practice, essentially what we're doing is we're just having a check-in. Is every single part of me okay? Who's got something they want to say? Who's got something they need to air or talk about? And it might be that in that instance, you know, organized Emily comes out and goes, me, I'm having to work too much and I'm not okay with it. And then playful Emily will go, well, you know, and like, then you can have, and it sounds a bit silly, but my experience of it is it's really helpful. And we can just have, and so you can do this with somebody else. So we're in a coaching session, sometimes it's appropriate. But the other way of doing it that sometimes really works for me, and you can do it just on a sitting practice and like have a conversation with each part, I sometimes find getting my journal out and choosing a different color So choosing colour for Organised Emily and a colour for Playful Emily, and they're just writing their script, like what do they have to say? And so this is why I advocate for a sitting practice or a journaling practice, you know, either in the morning, ideally in the morning, and but at the same time, if you've got kids and you've got people and all the rest of it, there's another time of day where you can give yourself 10 minutes and just check in with yourself. How are you feeling now about freedom and money and responsibility and talking about money and talking about the things that you love and the work that you do as related to money?
I feel kind of like a weight has been lifted, actually, like that, you know, whatever I choose to do, of course I have the right to ask, yeah, for some kind of value exchange, for some sort of, that I'm not just going to give and give or take and take, that there's going to be some kind of exchange, and providing I'm happy with that exchange, that's the important thing, that I feel like it's kind of equal, and more, I think when I feel like that kind of playful Emily who's going to be like taking the sessions is a bit unblocked, which I kind of feel like that has sort of happened by kind of like separating out their kind of like roles, that I'm more able to kind of give the value that I'm kind of promising essentially in my kind of sessions. So I kind of have a bit more confidence that I can do the job that I'm kind of saying I can do. And I think that kind of signing those like kind of the boring tasks to organise Emily means that I can just put them to one side and get on with telling people about what I'm offering, and also kind of providing it and organising it and finding it enjoyable.
Yeah, and all of us have different energies or different parts. And the other way of looking at this is that there is in each of us, we have a masculine and a feminine. And the masculine is logical, organized, systematic, fixing, you know, and it can be details oriented and all the rest of it, right? And it is its job to run your business and to create safe containers. And to run a safe container means everybody knowing about the money, everybody knowing about the rules or the expectations. So there's a kind of a contract and there's forms to be filled in, there's things to be done. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the sort of more feminine part, particularly in a creative business, is there to hold space and to go with the flow and to play and to allow it to be really fluid. Yeah. But she can only do that when everything else is taken care of.
Yeah.
And the thing is that in each of us, we have those energies, right? There's the masculine and the feminine. It's our job to know when to push and when to pull, or when to be in one and when to be in the other. And actually, as we went in, you were really clear which one was for who.
Yeah.
And actually, by having that conversation with yourself, then you're able to go, right, okay, this is how I have to show up here. Right, this is how I have to show up here. And this is going to make it easy for me. Yeah?
Yeah.
So will you come back and tell us how you get on?
Yes, definitely. Yeah. I'm really kind of excited, actually, to share that with you.
Great. So, well, go and have a play. Let us know. Come back to the Facebook group and share anything new with us. And when this comes out, I'll tag you and we can see where you're up to and what's changed.
I'll give you an update.
If anything. Yeah, that would be really lovely. Be yeah.
I would love that. Thank you so much.
This has been Adulting with Ebony. I have been Ebony. You have been great. Thank you so much for all of your support. Please keep listening, liking, rating, sharing so that more people can come and enjoy and engage with us. Really, thank you. I'll see you next time.